This is Method Man of the Mighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chilling. Jalen and Jacoby, man. They gave these dudes a show.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Shakur Stevenson joins us later on in the show, but we start with an NBA bubble update. Apparently, there are some players that are concerned about the bubble and joining the bubble. One of them is Carmelo Anthony, and here's what he had to say.
As far as actually playing and going back down into Orlando, I'm still up in the air a little bit because I really don't, you know, we don't have all the details. We don't know a lot of information. So until we have that, it's kind of hard to just, you know, commit to it 100%.
Jalen, is there trouble in the bubble?
There's no trouble. I'm going to tell you what he sounds like. You know, on this show, we have a segment called What's Your Number? For me, he just sounds like a millionaire. I want to tell everybody something. Playing basketball is not essential business. There are certain people walking the face of the earth that think when they go in the supermarket, those people just are gung-ho to put their lives on the line, potentially to catch COVID-19 to help you get groceries. No! They need to feed their families. These are made men, Jacoby. You got to think about the marathon, not the sprint. And you outlined very well some of the terms in the bubble. Over 2 or 3 months from the room to the bar to the pool, rinse and repeat. Without your family for the first 6 to 7 weeks and no real plan of what's going to happen if somebody actually fails, of course there's going to be apprehension for anyone when it's time to return to their job that isn't currently going to it as they normally were before the pandemic hit.
When they first sort of brought up the idea of Orlando and going down there, Matt, I immediately started thinking like, wow, that'd be like working and vacation all at the same time. The kids will play in the pool. It'll be so much fun. But then you start getting into the details and the policies and, oh, wait, you can't have your family down there for about 2 months and you can't leave the bubble. If you leave the bubble, you have to self-quarantine yourself. It doesn't seem as much fun as it used to seem as we get closer to the date. But I do believe that eventually both sides will end up in the bubble and we will get NBA basketball back on July 31st. And I can't wait. But that does mean that some players need to be in shape to play. We have a little update on one of my favorite players, Luka Doncic. His trainer said that he's not in the best shape right now and he needs to get himself into shape. So Jalen, how long do you think it'll take for an NBA player to get back into game shape?
It'll take Luka 30 days to get back playing at the level that he was playing. Because you initially got to go through the phase of where you're just gearing your body up. That's actually just the calisthenics, the stretching, the getting loose, getting the rigor back up, getting your body used to taking that pound and that running, that jumping. And then you continue to amp it up. You running and jumping and playing. You running and jumping, doing drills, playing and playing 5-on-5. And then all of a sudden you start to feel better about yourself. You start to get back into your game shape. But it's not a 7-day thing. It takes like a month for your, not only you to kind of get back into the shape that he was in, but also the kind of conditioning that allows him to perform at an elite level.
I feel like it goes one of two ways in the quarantine. You've got players like James Harden and Ben Simmons who've been hitting the gym and, you know, using the quarantine to stay focused and losing weight and getting in shape. I mean, look at skinny James Harden right there. But there's also the other way. I've gone the other way where I've just been in the quarantine just constantly snacking, gaining weight, not working out that hard. So I'm more up on the Luka quarantine plan than the Ben Simmons, James Harden quarantine plan. What is it that you're trying to say, Mr. Rose?
You know how much I stand up for the beard and all lefties. That reminded me of Luther Vandross. I might like Big James more than I like Small James. I'm just saying. We shall see.
You're the best. Moving on to a big man, Joel Embiid. He seems ready to go. Here's what he had to say about returning to the NBA. The following quote, "We've been going at it the past 4 weeks about 6 times a week. Just trying to get a head start and getting ready for whatever's coming. I have something to prove, and I feel whenever that opportunity comes, it's going to be my time." We all remember how Joel Embiid's season ended last season with him crying, walking through the tunnel in Toronto. So this quote had me thinking about who his competition is. is Joel Embiid the best center in the NBA?
Here's no. That's Anthony Davis. I would say he's second, but he has the talent of AD. AD a better three-point shooter, but Joel is a better post player. It's just more bulky and more powerful. And yes, he has something to prove. Because if I was lining up on a Saturday morning to pick the most talented players in the NBA, he's definitely going in the top eight or something like that.
That's fair.
Dribble, pass, and shoot, block shots, get boards, contest shots. And so him being healthy as somebody that's been injury plagued his entire career, he may be something special when the playoffs start back up. And the way their season ended last year, he and Ben Simmons will have something to prove, and don't sleep on Philly.
That's one of the things I really like about the bubble and the whole gap and then restart. It does feel like the NBA is once again wide open because there's no true momentum going into Orlando. So you could see a team like Philly come out of the East and maybe even win a championship. I'm just glad that he seems so ready and so confident for it. Jalen, we had a landmark decision yesterday from NASCAR. They put out the following statement. Here's what they had to say. Quote, "The presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events runs contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all fans, our competitors, and our industry. Bringing people together around a love for racing and the community that creates is what makes our fans and sport special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties." Jalen, what does this decision mean to you?
This decision means to me they finally woke up and realized black people actually make money, spend money, and enjoy sports. If I got to show up at work or as a fan and I'm seeing things that are demeaning to me or my history, guess what? I'm not going to support your product. And so that's why you don't see many black drivers. That's why you don't see many black fans. That's why that's not one of the more popular sports in the United States of America. It's a great step towards, I guess, 2020, as I'll call it. But I can't front. I am not going to celebrate at this time a professional sport deciding that they wouldn't throw the Confederate flag in everybody's face at each of their events. But congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, this certainly files under something that should have happened before. Glad that it actually finally did happen. I think there's a lot of other things like that in sports, like the football team name in Washington. It's like, we know that's going to change, and it shouldn't have taken this sort of unrest in order to get it done. So why not just change it now? And again, like the use of the Confederate flag and allowing the Confederate flag and celebrating the Confederate flag for this sport is something that was wrong in the past. I'm glad that they changed it moving forward, but it's one of many things that I think we will soon see change in the world of sports. And next we have Shakur Stevenson, fresh off a body blow knockout on Tuesday night. He joins us right now in just 2 minutes. Stay put.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
Welcome back to Jalen and Kobe. Jalen, who is joining us right now?
You know how much I love the sweet science and love to pay homage to boxing. Shakur Stevenson is joining the show. and put him on camera because I want everybody to get a close look at the future and current face of boxing. He's currently 14-0 with 8 KOs. Current WBO featherweight champion, knocking kids out with body blows on Tuesday night. Congratulations to a terrific performance. What was it like to have top-ranked ESPN, Jay Prince, and you on the big stage and put on the performance the way you did?
I mean, it was a good feeling to know I was bringing boxing back and having, like, all my family and friends watching me on TV. It was an amazing feeling. I put on the performance that I did, and I'm glad everybody tuned in.
I noticed during the fight that you seemed to injure your right hand right around the fifth round. Are you okay?
Yeah, it was my left hand, but I went and got an MRI right after fight, or x-ray after the fight. They said it was good, everything good. I'm ready to go again in August, September.
Fighting without a crowd, what was that like?
I mean, it was a little weird because, like, I would punch him, and I wouldn't get, like, no reaction from nobody, like, outside the ring. So it was kind of, like, it was kind of new to me. I'm used to, like, once I hit somebody, like, the crowd saying, oh, or, like, the crowd being in tune to what's going on. So it was kind of new to me not getting no reaction from the crowd at all.
Shakur, you have never lost a fight. 14-0, clean record. Who do you want to fight next?
Ooh.
I want to fight Leo Santa Cruz. I think Leo Santa Cruz and me will be a big fight in L.A. in front of a lot of his Mexican fans. I think Leo Santa Cruz is a good fighter. I respect the game, but I want to fight Leo Santa Cruz next.
And don't underestimate everybody. He said, bring back boxing. I'm going to tell you a couple of people he reminds me of. The charisma of Sugar Ray Leonard. The elusiveness of Floyd Money Mayweather. Am I wrong to use that comparison?
I mean, you ain't the only one that's using it. Everybody else is using the same comparison with Floyd, but I'm still my own type of person. Like, I got my own style. I learned from Floyd. I learned from Andre Ward. I learned from Pennell Whitaker. So you're not wrong using the comparison. That's, like, your opinion. That's everybody else's opinion, too. So I was just with him, like 2 days ago.
Oh, that's love. How you doing?
Yeah, he good. We was just talking. He was talking about my fight and stuff like that, how good I am and all that kind of stuff. So he was checking my game, too.
Well, two of you are undefeated, and I hope you continue your undefeated streak. And obviously, with all the unrest in the nation right now, recently Patrick Mahomes says he's determined to sort of, you know, help the world. How important do you think that athletes get involved in this certain political climate?
I think it's real important because we got a fan base and a following of the people. And I feel like they see us doing it. A lot of other people are going to want to join in and do it too. So I think it's real important that the athletes get involved. I'm going to try to get involved as much as possible too now that I'm not fighting. And I can go out with my mask and protest and help out the people too.
And stand on the shoulders of giants. As you know, you have so many fights, and you're a student of the game. You seem like to have old soul. There was a time where athletes were suppressed having their opinion. How confident in the fact that you can still perform being outspoken about things that you believe in, and they don't conflict?
I mean, I'm a little confident in it. I think that, like, with boxing, it's kind of a little bit different. I feel like in our sport, they want us to be a certain way when we my color and we black and stuff like that. They want us to be a certain way and want us to be the bad guy. And that's how they plan for us to sell tickets. But I want to do something different. Like, I want to reach the Floyd Mayweather stardom without having to be the bad guy and the villain and take that role. I want to have my own role, be like a how you say Sugar Ray Leonard was, that kind of star. Like, it's not real. It's rare in boxing. You got a black young African American fighter that could fight, and he also, you feel me, like, is rare. So I want to be the type of person that could step inside myself and become a star without taking that villain role.
Well, Shakur, you're certainly on your way to stardom, the future face of boxing right here on Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you so much for making the time. When we come back, Bruce Arians is quarantining quarterbacks. We'll explain. We're back in just 2 minutes.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. As the NFL prepares to resume with a new season, some coaches have decided that they're going to quarantine a quarterback. Bruce Arians said that he's going to quarantine one of his quarterbacks. He's got Tom Brady, Blaine Gabbert, and then Ryan Griffin. I bet Ryan Griffin is somewhere like, I don't even get to work with Tom Brady. Like, I don't even get to go to the meetings. Is this good or bad news for Ryan Griffin?
No. First off, I'm not buying into this. Bruce Arians is an OG in the game, and so is Tom Brady. They chilling with their fams anyway. They just bringing those other two guys along for the ride and forcing them to be the guinea pigs while they digest the playbook. Neither one of those guys are going to play a down this year unless they up 7 touchdowns or Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl and they up and he wanted to pour Gatorade over Bruce Arians' head. He just understands that's the most important position in the league. You think he'd be quarantining with Jameis? I think he threw 30 interceptions.
Poor Ryan Griffin. He was so excited to learn from Tom Brady, to hold the clipboard for Tom Brady, and to come to find out, he gets a phone call like, oh, no, you can't even be in the same room as Tom Brady. You're literally not allowed to be around Tom Brady. I want to thank Shakur Stevenson for coming by. Make sure you listen to our podcast exclusive content with Shakur. Coming up next, highly questionable, Dan Levitard.
Great guest.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
We always say we give the people what they want. That's part of giving people the podcast exclusive content. Joining us off the television on the podcast exclusive is Shakur Stevenson. Shakur, when did you first get into boxing and when did you first realize that this could be a potential career for you?
I first got into boxing because of my grandfather. He was a boxing coach and he was also like a baseball player, but he wasn't really like no major baseball player. But he, like, took me to one of his games, like his little rec games. And his fighters also came. And when his fighters came, I thought it was cool, like, that they was boxers. So the next day I asked him, can I go to the gym? And I went to the gym, and I just fell in love with the sport. Like, I fell in love with everybody sparring. They was in there sparring. And the competition, like, the competition level was kind of high. So I was always, like, an athlete already, but whenever I got to boxing, it's like it married to me. Like I'm married to the game.
In the United States, the NBA and the NFL are so very popular. But I always tell people there's nothing like a great prize fight. Nothing at all. Sweet science. Yeah. Mano a mano. Can you sell young fight fans on why it's so very awesome for you that you took up boxing, you fell in love with it, and made a career into it?
Yeah, I think that it's a one-on-one sport. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I love basketball. Basketball is my second favorite sport. I like to play basketball. I like to watch basketball. But in boxing, is like, if you lose, it's all on you. Like, you're the reason why you lost. Like, in basketball, sometimes you can lose, and it could be because of your teammates or because your coach or something like that. Like in boxing, you lose, it's on you. So it's all in your control. It's a one-on-one combat sport, and I think that's the main part why I love boxing. Like, it's all in my hands. Like, everything is in my hands.
I want to get back to you hooping because, you know, I love pickup hoops. So, Shakur, what is your game like on the basketball court? What's the game like?
I could play. I'm actually good. Like, I'm really a shooter. Like, I could shoot, but I'm more like a crunch time type of player. Like, if we playing regular pickup games, if the game getting close, give me the ball. My favorite player is Kawhi Leonard. That's what I'm going to tell you. Just put it like that. My favorite player is Kawhi Leonard.
That's what's up. So, a silent assassin out on the floor like that, late in the game, like yeah. he shot down the Sixers and sent them home crying?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Kawhi Leonard, his birthday probably like 2 days before mine, I think. Like, he had cancer like me and everything. That's my favorite player. I'm a big fan of Kawhi Leonard.
Speaking of fans, and being a hip-hop head, and loving the game for as long as I had. There's a gentleman that you're really close to that I have his book called The Art of Respect. His name is Jay Prince. And I've been getting game from afar from him, whether it's his articles or whether how he put his record label together and all of the things you guys and he's been able to accomplish along with his son as well. So what is it like to have that influence? And can you tell some of the greatest lessons you learned from your family tree in boxing, Jay Prince?
I think it's definitely a blessing to have Jay Prince as my manager. He's like this is my Prince boxing shirt. I'm actually in Jay house right now. Like,
dope.
Like, all these pictures in the back, that's Jay. But Jay Prince, like, he a real dude. He one of the, like, smartest dudes I ever, like, came across. Outside of boxing, like, when we just sitting here and he, like, talking to me about getting my money right and saving money and having money whenever boxing is over and not going broke and stuff like that. So me and him, like, we click. He one of the major, like, major people I look up to in life.
That's dope. Well, listen, what does it feel like? So many people call you the future of boxing or the soon to be the face of boxing. Does that put pressure on you to perform?
Not at all. I think I'm the type of person, I like pressure. Pressure kind of make me perform better. Like, with this fight, I told somebody that this fight wasn't going to go past six rounds. And I really told them I could get him out of there at four, but they bet the under, which it was the sixth round. But I didn't know, like it was a certain time in the sixth round that I had to get him out of there. But in the sixth round, I was thinking, like, okay, I told him I'm going to get him out of there in the sixth round, so. By round six, I kind of, like, turned up the heat a little bit. Like, the kind of, like, pressure kind of make me, like, turn up a lot more. It made me, I grabbed.
What about being a softpaw? I'm sorry, what about being a softpaw? As a fellow lefty, it just seems like when you're throwing shots and hitting them with that left, it just look a little sweeter.
Yeah, I think I like being left-handed. I think, it's not really too many good left-handed boxers, like, in the history, but, like, my favorite is Pernell Whitaker. I think I learned a lot from Sweet Pea.
Sweet,
like,
Sweet Pea
is one of my favorite fighters, so I learned a lot from him.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Shakur. I wish you the best of the future. We want to see that next fight. We want to see it right here on ESPN, and you can come right back here to Jalen Jacoby after you win.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, too, man. Thank you.
Anytime.
Jalen, you know we always say, oops, sorry, 3, 2, 1. Jalen, you know we always say we give the people what they want. Not only do we have podcast-exclusive content with Shakur Stevenson, but there's a story that we just absolutely have to discuss. In Miami, a town known for late nights, nightclubs, great Cuban food, and strip clubs. They're reopening.
Yes.
I don't know what phase it is. I don't know, phase one, phase two, phase three, phase whatever.
Yes.
But
yes,
they're reopening the strip clubs. However, just like the NBA bubble, you got to read the fine print. Masks must be worn by all. Social distancing. And gloves.
No.
So, Jalen, is it really a strip club if everyone's wearing masks, social distancing, and gloves?
Juicy J once said it ain't a strip club for a different reason, but I won't say that because I'm at work. But what I will say is it hinders the experience for the patrons.
You think?
Because here's the thing. The imagery of gloves has nothing to do with you trying to touch or fondle the dancer. It's more of like you having a drink with gloves. That ain't necessarily relaxing or chilling.
Jalen, let me, as someone who's been in a very committed monogamous relationship for 18 years, the strip club becomes a sanctuary. It becomes a fantasy land. It's a fantasy land. Right? That's what it is. I mean, people use this term all the time. It's a fantasy. It's not reality. She doesn't really like you. You know what I mean? She's just pretending that she likes you, laughing at your jokes. Right? This is all a fantasy. You suspend disbelief. And the mask and the glove are just a constant reminder of the harsh reality that we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know? Like it's not about the actual tactile wearing of the gloves or the mask. It's just like, I want to be in a bubble where there's no rules, there's no laws. It's a fantasy. I suspend my own disbelief. But in that, there's that constant reminder on your hands and your face that the reality is that you're just an ugly old dude who's washed up in the middle of a pandemic.
Correct. That's why a lot of times when you go to a strip club, the focus isn't your hands or your face.
Whoa. Okay. I'm just going to move on to the next story. Jalen, we haven't discussed this, but I'd like to discuss this. Tory Hunter came out. I think it was on Golic and Wingo.
I love him. That's my dog.
And he had a no-trade clause in every one of his contracts, specifically so he would not be traded to Boston because of the way that the fans treated him, specifically using the N-word towards him. Now, Jalen, you've obviously played in the NBA for 13 years. You never played for the Celtics. You played in Boston many times. Is that consistent with your experiences with the Boston crowd?
Unfortunate for the great people of the Boston area, and the person who created this show is also from that area, the Pod Father, Bill Simmons, who that's our brother and we love him to death. And so this clearly isn't to slander everybody there, but they do have a history in all professional sports of disrespecting brown, black and brown athletes that came to play from other teams. And that history is dark. That history is dirty. And I believe, again, as the climate starts to shift, places like that who have those horrible histories, especially outwardly, will not be able to have those disrespectful displays.
I grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts, which is pretty far from Boston. And my dad, though, was in Cambridge for my entire upbringing. And if you don't know, Boston is basically Boston. It's like Brooklyn and Manhattan being New York. And I didn't have firsthand experiences with racist people or really see sort of the treatment that Tory is talking about in my experiences there. But I've heard the city being characterized this way. And it wasn't until I asked a lot of my friends or people that weren't from there, people of color that visited, that they really echoed this sentiment as well, that I had to have a little reckoning with myself and be like, listen, if enough people tell me that it is this way, just because I haven't experienced it myself, that it must be this way, because it's not a coincidence that there are like a half dozen people in my life that have told me like, oh, such and such happened to me when I was there, such and such happened to me when there, such and such happened to me when there, which is interesting because sometimes even though you're in a place and you hear it being sort of characterized as a type of place where racism is prevalent and you don't see it or feel it every day, that doesn't mean that it's not there. You know, and I certainly feel that way about Boston. Enough people have told me that that's the case.
Ted Williams got a freeway named after him before Bill Russell got a statue.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, we obviously are not characterizing everybody in Boston. Some of my best friends are from there and live there. But, you know, it's eye-opening to hear Tory Hunter say
this. I love it now that I'm rich. I go right to that Mandarin Oriental, eat good, go to the steam room, waste about 10 towels. Purposely park in the wrong spot. You could do that easily in Boston. Like they park in the middle of the street, park the wrong way sometime.
You're the best, Jalen. You're the absolute best. You know that? I love doing this.
They cannot like me now. They cannot like my skin, but they can hate my black card.
Yeah. I just want to take people behind the curtain. Jalen, came down to the city to just visit his buddy Jacoby. You know, the family wasn't there, had an afternoon to myself, and Jalen said, I'll be right there. And usually Jalen says he's going to be somewhere at like 4 o'clock. He's there at like 5:30. Like you got to give Jalen like an hour pad. And he said he was going to be there at 3:30, 3:38. I put my jogging clothes on because I was like, he ain't going to get here till 4:35. I was about to leave and pulls up Jalen Rose. And I just want to say it was a small gesture. But I know it took you a long time to get down there. It was just great to see you, to be around a friend. I hadn't seen you for months and just like hang out, talk to a friend, walk down the block. You know, it was great, man. I appreciate you taking the time to come down.
Hey, miss you, buddy. No doubt. And that was the first time in a long time. Not only I got a chance to kick it with my brother, but be outdoors and day drink. You know, I felt great. Sun is shining. I'm walking down the street with a bum runner.
Like all of a sudden, if you stayed in Manhattan, like most people just left Manhattan that lived here, but you know, I've stayed here. Is if you stayed in Manhattan, Manhattan turned into like Bourbon Street right around Thursday, Friday, at like 5, 6 o'clock. Everyone's just walking the streets with cocktails. Cops don't care. It's just like bar crawling. It's like Manhattan. Like especially lately, people stop caring about COVID and the quarantine. People are just tired of the mask being inside the quarantine. People are out.
People not even around, social distancing, but they were
inside. Yeah, I was like, I gotta go inside. I remember like 2 months ago, I would wipe everything down with extra alcohol, hand sanitizer, wiping everything down. If something came in a bag, I would wipe the bag down and then wipe the item down. Now I'm just like, whatever. I just get tired of it, man. People just get fatigued. I think people are just tired of the quarantine, tired of the pandemic. And, man, I really hope this doesn't result in a second wave. I really hope this doesn't result in a second wave because I want my kids to go to school. I want to drop them off in the morning, have someone else take care of them all day. Jalen, thanks for booking Shakur Stevenson for us. You're the best.
Thank you, Fally. Thank you guys for having him. Great professionalism. He's a star, man. And he's going to be a superstar.
I think they have UFC fight card tomorrow on ESPN, so we are off until Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.